Good evening. It's good to be back with you again. Read from the Bible now. And the passage I'd like us to look at tonight is from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 21, and reading from verse 23. So Matthew 21, and reading from verse 23. Says Jesus is in Jerusalem, and it says, Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. By what authority are you doing these things, they asked, and who gave you this authority? Jesus replied, I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe him? But if we say from men, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we don't know. Then he said, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. Well, I wonder if, like me, you were ever caught scrumping apples when you were young. I don't know if they still call that anymore, but we used to go scrumping in the orchard at the end of the road where we lived, because it was easy to squeeze through the fence and help ourselves to the apples. But of course, that was until the farmer spotted us and chased us, shouting, what are you doing? Who said you could come into my orchard? Fortunately, we were usually fast enough to escape, although I do remember the local policeman, PC Evermy, visiting our home on one occasion in relation to such matters, but I don't think we got into too much trouble. And I was thinking also about our son James. When he was a teenager, he decided he wanted to go busking in Taunton with his guitar to make a bit of money. And you wouldn't realise how difficult it is to go busking. You can't just go and stand there. You have to get a permit. You have to stand in certain places where the council tells you. But James, when he was about 16 or 17, when he was at college, decided he would do this. But he had to apply for a permit, and he had to sort of do an audition, I think, so they could say that, you know, he wouldn't scare people away. but he used to go out and do this a little bit. And of course, because he had the permit, if anyone like the police or a council official came up and said, what are you doing here? He could say, well, I'm authorized to play here because I've got a permit from the council. Who said you could be here? Who do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? Reasonable questions, I guess, if we are in a place where we shouldn't be, doing something that we shouldn't be doing. And today we're going to think about Jesus when his authority was challenged. When people were saying to him, what do you think you're doing? Who said you could be here? And that's the passage that we've just read. But to put it into context, we can see that this was a time just at the beginning of the week before Jesus went to the cross and rose again on the third day. And it's always good to put things into context. So we're going to start by thinking about the timing, the location, and the occasion of Jesus being challenged. The timing, we can work out that it was the Tuesday of Passion Week. That is the week leading up to Jesus' death. Following on from Palm Sunday, and most likely the cleansing of the temple on the Monday. The location, if we use Mark's and Luke's accounts alongside Matthew's account, we learn that Jesus and his disciples were in Jerusalem at the temple courts. Verse 23 that we read said, Jesus entered the temple courts. That's sort of the outer courts. And while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, Mark tells us in chapter 11, 27, whereas Luke in 20, verse 1 says, one day as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple courts. So we've got three eyewitnesses putting Jesus in the same place. The timing, the location, but what about the occasion? Again, verse 23 told us it was while he was teaching. And Luke says it was while he was proclaiming the good news. Jesus was doing what he loved to do, proclaiming, telling out the good news of God's salvation, which of course was going to come to fulfillment through his sacrificial death just a few days later and his glorious resurrection a little while after that. So that's the context. But Jesus is challenged. Let's think about how Jesus is challenged. Matthew tells us that the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him, while Mark and Luke add in also the teachers of the law. So it was the chief priests, the elders, and the teachers of the law. And these groups who came to challenge Jesus all had representatives in the Sanhedrin, the ruling Jewish council, the sort of religious council. And they considered themselves to have authority over the whole temple complex and all that took place within it. And it was clear to them that Jesus was acting under an authority other than theirs. Now, of course, as we read the Gospels, we find that there is nothing unusual about Jesus being approached in this way, because he was constantly being watched, questioned, and even threatened. But here, the challenge is particularly about his authority. By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? Well, as we read, Jesus declined to answer their request for the source of his authority, likely knowing perhaps that it would cause more controversy, which perhaps he wasn't wanting just at that particular time. But these people want to know who had given him the right to act and speak as he was doing. And I suppose these people from the Sanhedrin, the ruling Jewish council, felt that they were doing their job as spiritual leaders of the Jewish people. We could say they were carrying out their duties to protect what they saw as false doctrines and teaching. So in a sense, they were thinking by coming and challenging Jesus, they were protecting the people that were under their care and protection. They were effectively saying to Jesus, show us your credentials. Show us your credentials. But of course, the issue was not really that they wanted to protect the people. They were actually much more concerned about their own positions of power and privilege. That is really what they were seeking to protect. Their aim, as so often, was to embarrass and discredit Jesus. Because they probably assumed that if he admitted that he did not have any credentials, then the crowd would soon drift away and lose interest in what he had to say. But if he said he did have authority, he would be claiming, in their view without justification, rights that belonged only to God. If that was the case, of course, they could accuse him of blasphemy, which they did later anyway. In essence, this question, it was the same question that John the Baptist had been asked earlier on when the priests and Levites were sent by the Jewish leaders. We read this in John 1, 19 to 25. They said, "Who are you? Who are you?" Effectively, they were saying, "Who are you? What are you doing here? Who has sent you?" We also note that Jesus, in his early ministry, faced similar questioning as he was asked in John 2, 18 to 22. "What sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" On that occasion, Jesus answered by saying, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." Well, this really confused his accusers because they said, "It took 46 years to build this temple, and you say you're going to, if we knock it down, you're going to rebuild it in 3 days? That's nonsense." But of course, John, in his gospel, shares with us that Jesus was speaking of his body, and that following his resurrection, the disciples came to understand what Jesus was saying. It suddenly dawned on them when Jesus said about destroying this temple, he wasn't talking about a building, he was talking about his body. But as we continue to consider the challenge to Jesus's authority, we need to ask what was meant by these things in verse 23, where he's asked, "Who gave you the authority to do these things?" What were these things that he was being questioned about? Well, most theologians agree that this is certainly relating to the cleansing of the temple, which, of course, in the eyes of the Jewish council members, defied their authority as well as scuppering their money-making schemes. But there are others who think that it also refers to the events of Palm Sunday, and even to a little bit in there that says that while Jesus was there in the temple courts, he healed many blind and lame. But I think from Luke's account, we can take it that they were really most upset about his current teaching and proclamation of the gospel in the temple courts. And that is what really irked them, or as we would say today, wound them up. They just didn't like the fact that Jesus was in the temple courts, even if it was the outer temple courts, but he was talking about God. He was talking about himself. He was talking about how to come to God. So who gave you the authority to do these things? Well, Jesus responds to the challenge. And in a way, his response is quite surprising, isn't it? Or Perhaps it isn't, because we know that this is often the way that Jesus reacted to questions that were thrown at him. If we were to spend our time working through the gospel accounts, we become aware of a constant thread showing that the religious leaders, as we've already mentioned, were always trying to find ways to discredit Jesus, to particularly discredit him in the view of the people, the crowds, but also in the eyes of the Roman authority, so that they could get him into trouble. So we're not surprised that the challenge involved a question which is intended to trip Jesus up. But of course, he turns the tables on them, as he so often did. And as his challengers talk to each other, they realize that Jesus had driven them into a corner from which it was impossible to escape. It's clearly not a good idea to take on the Son of God, if I can say that reverently. In the question that Jesus poses in response to their question, there are actually only two possible answers. He says, you know, John's baptism, where did it come from? So their thinking is John's baptism was either from heaven, a common Jewish term for God. So John's baptism was either from God or it was from men. The NIV Study Bible puts it quite helpfully like this. It's either God inspired or man devised. It's either God inspired or man devised. And Jesus' answer implies that his authority, like John the Baptist's, came from God. I mean, we might think that Jesus was simply evading the question by asking another question, which is a good way to deal with people sometimes. If you don't actually want to answer a question, ask them another question. But that wasn't the case here. Jesus was actually making a point through his counter question. They wanted to know where his authority came from. So he effectively tells them it is from the same place that John the Baptist's authority came from. But we know if you were to go back to Matthew 3, verses 1 to 12, when the religious leaders came, the Sadducees and Pharisees particularly, came to John the Baptist when he was baptizing in the wilderness, John had very harsh words for them. He says, "Who told you to escape from the coming wrath, you brood of vipers?" In fact, he was saying to them, you know, you're only here to have a see what's going on. You're not here to repent. You're not here to listen to the word of God. You're only here so that you can get more ammunition against me and the Messiah who was to come and against God. But rather than answering Jesus' question truthfully, they hedge their bets by saying, "Oh, we don't know." Now, of course, they did know, but they didn't want to admit that to Jesus. So Jesus responds, "Well, if you're not willing to answer my question, then I'm not going to answer yours." Once again, Jesus has sidestepped his detractors, his enemies, at least for now. But it does leave us with a question, doesn't it? Because Jesus didn't actually answer the question very fully, it leaves us with the question, where did Jesus' authority come from? So that's what we're going to think about now. Where did Jesus' authority come from? Well, the Greek word that is used here for authority is exousia. And it means authority, power, or right. In this context, it's the ability or strength with which one is endued, the strength or power that one is given. And it leads on to question how to show that power or that right, how to exercise that authority. So we can see a number of times when that word is used. For instance, in Matthew 9, verse 6, we read that the crowd praised God who had given such authority to man, speaking about Jesus. And Paul in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8, speaks about the authority that the Lord gave us. It was an authority that was given to them, that was endued upon them. The two main things about where Jesus' authority comes from. First of all, from his Father, and secondly, from God's Word. So from his Father, Jesus clearly knew that he drew his authority from the Father above. And that's shown in a number of places. First of all, at his baptism. In Matthew 3:17, the Holy Spirit descended on the Lord Jesus. With the appearance, it looked like a dove. It was the Holy Spirit coming down. But also at that time, the heavens opened and a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." But also at his transfiguration, when he went up the mountain with those three disciples, and a voice came saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." Saying, you know, he has my authority. And then, of course, we see it in his teaching. When Jesus was teaching the crowds in John 7, 28 and 29, we read, "Then Jesus cried out, 'Yes, you know me, and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own authority, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him, because I am from him, and he sent me.'" And also talking to his disciples on that lovely discourse before he went to the cross, John 14, verses 9 and 10. Jesus said to his disciples, "I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." And then finally, we see from his Father that his authority comes as he shares that great high priestly prayer in John 17. In verses 1 and 2, Jesus prays, "Glorify your Son, for you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him." But Jesus also used the Old Testament scriptures to show where his authority came from. In Matthew 4:16-21, as Jesus had been in the synagogue, he'd taken the scroll and he'd read from the prophets. And he said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." He says, my authority comes from the Old Testament prophets, from God's word. In John 5:39, Jesus again refers to the scriptures and says, "These are the very scriptures that testify about me." And if we were to look at Hebrews 10, verse 7, which relates to when Jesus came into the world, it says of Jesus that he said, "It is written of me." So Jesus, we see his authority came from his Father, and it also came from God's word. But to finish with, we need to think, well, how was Jesus' authority shown? How was it displayed? Well, we see Jesus' authority displayed in so many different ways, don't we, throughout the scriptures. I think the main ones, I've got four main ones. First of all, his authority as a teacher. His authority as a teacher. This morning in church, we were meeting to pray around the front before we started the service, and the lady who plays the piano for us, she was directing me. She said, "You go and stand over there because there's not enough room over here." And I said to her afterwards, I knew she used to be a head teacher. I said, "Once a head teacher, always a head teacher." She was speaking as one who had authority, even over me. But authority as a teacher, Jesus certainly had that, didn't he? In Matthew 7:28-29, following Jesus' teaching through the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew tells us the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Most teachers in Jesus' day would generally reference other teachers from the past. Someone said this or someone else said that. Seldom would you find or hear someone express their own interpretation of the scriptures. But Jesus, of course, was able to do that. Much of his teaching, especially early on, was in the form of, "You have heard it said, but I say to you." And that was what the crowds found so amazing. His teaching was not based on the authority of some other noted teacher. Rather, he taught as one who had authority on the scriptures, and indeed as the author of the scriptures. He was the ultimate authority on interpreting the intent and the meaning of it. So Jesus' authority was shown through his teaching, but also in his ability to forgive sins. He had authority to forgive sins. Again, Matthew 9:1-8, we have the story of the paralyzed man who was brought to Jesus by his friends. And Jesus told him that his sins were forgiven. This amazed people that Jesus should tell this man that his sins were forgiven. When he was challenged by the religious elite of his day, people who equated sin and sickness together, he healed the man to demonstrate to them his authority to also forgive sins. He had the authority to heal this man from his physical illness, but he also had the ability to forgive him his sins. And the crowds are amazed that God has given this kind of authority to a man, someone who they saw as a man. The authority to forgive sins was rightly observed to belong only to God. But God the Father had given that authority to Jesus. Authority as a teacher, authority to forgive sins, but also authority to heal the sick and cast out demons. In Matthew 10:1, Jesus commissioned his disciples and sent them out to the surrounding towns. And as part of that commissioning, we read that he gave them authority to drive out impure spirits, and to heal every disease and sickness. To be able to give that authority to his disciples, Jesus must have also had that authority himself. And of course, he demonstrated it repeatedly throughout the gospel accounts, through his signs and wonders, which we don't need to go through because there are so many of them. But wherever he went, he healed the sick and he cast out evil spirits. And finally, he had authority over creation. Matthew 8, 23 to 27, we have that time when Jesus and his disciples were in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee, when this severe storm blew up and the boat was in danger of sinking. And the disciples in fear wake up the sleeping Jesus. "We're going to drown, we're going to drown." Of course, we know that Jesus responded by rebuking the wind and the waves, which in response became as still as a mill pond. I remember we went on a trip once around Ramsey Island off of St. David's, and the guy there said to us, it was quite windy and it looked quite rough. And we were sort of questioning whether we should go on this boat trip. He said, "Oh, it's like a mill pond out there." He was lying. I thought I was going to die. But it was, ooh, like this. But Jesus certainly calmed and made it just like a mill pond. Although the word authority isn't actually used in that incident, the application is clear, the implication is clear, as his disciples were amazed that the wind and the waves obeyed his orders. So, as we bring our thoughts together, we find that what had started as a question, seeking to trip Jesus up and to discredit him in the sight of the Roman occupiers and the crowds, ended up showing the amazing authority which God the Father had bestowed upon his Son. And we've considered how Jesus' authority came from his Heavenly Father through his baptism, his transfiguration, his teaching, his high priestly prayer, and from the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures. And we've also seen how Jesus's authority was demonstrated through his teaching, his ability to forgive sins, his power to heal the sick, to cast out demons, and even to raise the dead, and finally, over creation. Of course, we know that there is still more to come as the fulfillment of God's purposes for all men and women who have ever lived, and the recreation of his perfect world, which will reveal Almighty God's authority over all things. We can look back and see the authority which Jesus had. But we can look forward too to see how his authority will be displayed again as he comes and returns to take us to be with him and to make all things new, for which we praise him. Amen.